emphasize how much I feel like I don't belong here. Like here, like up here, like on this stage here. It's this the constant sense that I don't have like a real like a real place, like a real artistic place, like a way of expressing myself that is acceptable and is welcome in any kind of community. And it's really easy when you audition for a show. If you audition for a show and you get cast in it, then you can be like, I feel really, really dumb up here, but at least that person thinks I belong up here, so I guess I'll just keep doing this show. But I wrote this and I cast myself, so I don't have any excuse. Like, if this goes on, I don't know if you know this, but you can just pay them money and they'll just let you use this stage. Like, anyone can come up here.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and I know that I've been a little absent from the show for the last few weeks. Even when I was actually producing an episode, I seemed a little absent from the show. It had been kind of hard to concentrate because I was gearing up to premiere my one-person show, Deep in Bear Country, on May 24th, which I did. And it was exciting, and people came, and I had a good time. And a lot of people asked, are you going to record the show and release it? And the short answer to that is no. And the long answer to that is, but we will be talking about it, and I'll be playing a couple of clips from the show that were recorded by a friend of the show and frequent guest Bradley Mariska. And he didn't even record the whole show, just a few minutes here and there. But fortunately, we have those clips, and with me to discuss the show, the journey we went on, and where it is now, I have two regulars on the show, the incredible and amazing Alana Gravitz. Hello.
Hi.
And the amazing and incredible Mark Sweeney. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Phil.
Mark, you were one of the first people to ever like work with me on the structure of this show.
Really? Awesome.
You were.
Yeah. I was like, hey, Phil, let's get a space some afternoon. And we found ourselves in the basement of a theater just plotting out what is this show about? Because, yeah, when you said you were going to do the show about the podcast, I didn't really even know what the structure was going to be. Because people might expect like a live show, and it's definitely not going to be a live show. And it was going to be something that was connected to you on a personal level.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay. What the heck is that going to be still? Right.
And Alana, you can attest to the fact that I was always a little elusive about what I was actually planning on doing with the show.
Yeah. When you're describing it all now, I thought that sounds like the plot to a Berenstain Bear book. Oh.
The Berenstain Bears bite off more than they can chew.
Before you saw me, you enlisted in some I'm going to say some professional help, but you started a class with Amy Salloway.
Local storyteller, Amy Salloway does many storytelling classes in the Twin Cities, and I took one from her. It was a 4-session class, and it really changed my perspective on what the focus of the show was going to be, because I realized I always wanted to put myself in it, but it made me realize that it was very important that this show tell a story as opposed to just being informational, because that was far more engaging than just a person talking about the Berenstain Bears on stage.
I felt like that was a really crucial element of your show last Friday night. And very unexpected that it was so, that it really did touch on a personal point in your life, and lots of personal points in your life, actually, pretty much like your being, your existence, in a very genuine way. And that was really unexpected. I went to your show with my wife, and she's, yeah, who hasn't listened to a lot of your podcast, but knows you personally. And felt like she left knowing you a lot better, Phil. So I don't know. That's kind of a testament to how vulnerable and how personal the show really was.
I have this incredible fear that I will die. I understand that I will one day. But I have this fear that I will die and that I will have left nothing behind of substance. Nothing to be remembered by. I will have left no mark on the world. I will have made no impact. I will have no legacy to leave behind. And when you have a deep abiding fear of death and a deep anxiety about legacy, and you are white and a man, you start a podcast. It's what we do now. You know, we used to always run for office, and now we start a podcast, and I think that's a pretty good step in the right direction. More white guy podcast. He just sits down at a microphone, and he's like, I don't know, talk about the GoBots. And we're like, oh, good, the GoBots. Well, you know, they were actually, and just let us go, shut the door, and we won't harm anyone.
At one point, a few weeks ago, Alana was like, you should get this up in front of people before you actually premiere it, like, on stage. And I was like, I don't want to show it to people. Like, that sounds weird and hard. And it's not going to be any good anyway, so why should I show it to people?
Yet, when it's your own thing, I understand, Phil, when it's your own thing, you're like, no, we'll wait for it.
Well, because like, if you do poorly in a play, you're only doing, only like part of it's, I don't know, like poor, like, you're doing someone else's words, you're doing someone else's direction.
It's not your own fault.
But how many times do you rehearse it before you put it up?
A lot.
Yeah.
Well, Alana was like, you need to get this up in front of people. I was finally just like, all right, fine. If you want to take the control of it, if you want to take charge and organize a couple of previews, go right ahead. And she did. And I was so surprised.
Yeah, she sent me a lot of personal messages.
So my question for you is, why was it so important to you that this thing gets seen?
Because I know you can't just not do it in front of anyone and just show up at the end and think it's going to, like, that's just not how things work. I also was guessing, I know you don't groove on logistics, and that there was probably a part of it where you were just like, I can't deal with this. And I was like, all right, I can deal with this.
Yeah. One of my big lessons I learned from this whole process is don't try to do everything yourself. I was producing it. I was directing it. I was finding my own like workspaces. I was writing it and just not letting really anybody see it. I actually, years ago, probably like 13 years ago now, Alana and I were part of a show that where we were actually building the show as we went along. And of course, Mark, you've written plays and musicals. Yep. And having written this, it's one of those things that every writer experiences as you're putting something together is just how difficult it is to tell a story, like from beginning to middle to like even as simple as you're trying to keep it, just having an intro, hitting some sort of a climax, and then having like some falling action is like almost impossible to me sometimes, like without just building up, without just fleshing it out with more and more details until you forget that you're actually trying to like wrap things up at the end. And I noticed that doing this, a lot of that was like trying to figure out, like, I can entertain people with tales of the Berenstain Bears, but what I really want to do is take them on a journey with me. And that's something Alana said, was like, it was important that it wasn't just me doing a TED talk, as you put it, that I was a character, that I went through some kind of an arc, you know, for a show that's a very much about me being insecure and being vulnerable. It's very hard to be up on stage and be vulnerable and also entertaining.
Well, and you were positioned also as an expert. You know, you sort of like show your knowledge of all the books, and that part is super entertaining and also pretty impressive. So I think you know that, like, you know, going into it, that you're very confident in your detailed understanding of the plot of virtually any of the books that someone could pick out at random. So it's not just, you know, it's a little more multifaceted.
Yeah, it's fun because I'm not improv trained, but I'm good at talking about things I know about.
And yes,
like
you are.
keeping them like sort of keeping it sort of light and upbeat and fun. So I was like, well, I can't just do a completely improv show, but I can have an improv section if it's just me sort of sharing my excitement for something. I guess that's the difference, is it's not just me telling about things. It's me wanting everyone to be as excited about this subject as I am.
And I think that worked. I had people come up to me after the show saying, you know, that they went maybe because they were a friend of yours and they didn't necessarily care about the bears or even have kids or anything, and they were super entertained.
We've been working on a book, and we think this one's going to be a huge hit with kids. And Geisel was like, all right, show it to me. What do you got? And they're like, all right, we've been working on a story. It's about a family of bears. And guys are always like, bears, bears, great, 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 keep going. All right. There's a mama bear, a papa bear, and a small bear. Great. Family. Kids love families. What else you got? Okay. The story is this. The small bear doesn't want to get hit very hard by his father. And the father bear wants to hit him very hard. And it's called Freddy Bear's Spanking. And guys, it was all right, come here. I'm gonna tell you something. This is him taking the money. And I don't like kids, because he didn't. But I know what they like to read, and I know what they don't like to read. And what they don't like to read is books about getting hit by their own parents.
So yeah, we had a great crowd. We had a great turnout.
Yeah.
The pizza was delicious.
Shout
that out.
I think one big lesson I learned from all this is learning again how to ask for help from people or accept help when it's offered, because I'm bad at that. And very, very bad at that. Like, so I'm so bad at that that I like literally turn up my nose at it.
It is a lesson for myself that I have to keep reminding myself too. I think I tweeted that to myself, because who even follows me, like 2 months ago, when in a bout of unemployment, I was like, oh yeah, I need to tell people that I need help with this. Like,
yeah,
it's just a lesson, I think, as an adult, especially for men too.
Mm-hmm.
Asking for help. You can do it.
Yeah. Cause I mean, like when Alana would offer help, I'd be like, I don't need help. No. And I'd like I would act like all put off and offended that like she would even suggest I needed help. And that's part of my ongoing journey, is learning how to graciously accept that help.
Isn't the return like worth it?
It is totally worth it. I don't know if you guys know this, when people help do things, it's a lot easier. Not to mention getting multiple perspectives on a thing you're creating. So for the future, I plan on continuing to work on this and developing this show.
I was just thinking about how the show that you were talking about that we worked on those many years ago, I remember that after we did, it was scheduled for a series of 5 performances. And I remember at the end of them going, oh, okay, now I feel like we're ready to write the show, because we understand what works and what doesn't. And by the end of that run, it was like, oh, this is that section that I know isn't going to work out because I already know that and I can't fix it now. And so one neat thing about this is you had this discrete one-time event, but it was the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, you had it wasn't, you know, the 2 rehearsals felt like rehearsals and they were helpful, but then you had a real live run with a real live audience, and now you can reflect on it and think about, okay, what worked? What do I need to keep? What do I need to tweak? What do I need to just completely toss and switch out for something else for this 5-minute hunk or whatever? And that's kind of a neat thing to do. And when it's your show, you can do that pretty freely. You don't have to coordinate, like, you know, when can we all start writing the drafts again, or, you know, any of that. You can just start thinking immediately on what you want the next round of it to look like.
Yeah.
That being said, no one left that show Friday night feeling like they saw an feeling like they got their money's worth.
Right.
I know that's a cheap way of saying that, but
no, it felt like a thing. Yeah.
They saw a show. They saw someone transformed on stage. They saw a stage transform.
Yes.
They saw stages of transformation.
That's
they
good.
Saw a bear become a man. I don't know. That's not a thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to leave today without discussing the biggest takeaway from the show, which is we had the most delicious cake. sent by a friend of mine who does not even live in the state, and he sent the most delicious cake as an opening night thing. And
is there a way you can like put a picture in the show notes?
I will
something?
Put a
it's
picture
amazing.
Of the cake in the show notes. It is the Berenstain Bears treehouse. It is the split level tree, and it is amazing.
It keeps giving, because I just had some and it was delicious.
It was the most delicious cake.
It's like wedding cake level of amazingness.
Yeah.
It's pretty
buttercream frosting. Oh. So good. You would think there'd be more fondant. That's buttercream.
Here's another lesson to be learned. If you want some cake, ask for it.
Yes, you did ask for some cake.
I did.
I think I actually offered, but...
He accepted. He accepted. You know, he could have said, you know what, that's okay. But instead he was like, I would love some of that cake. And he ate it with a smile on his face and a song in his heart.
What were the highlights of the night for you, Phil?
I would say the whole evening was kind of the slow, steady build of highlights. Like, I was so nervous the entire time. Like, I was nervous.
You were very, very nervous.
I was almost, like... incoherent.
Yes,
at times.
I agree.
I was so nervous. I hid in the closet. I hid in the utility closet. There's no backstage in the performing space, and the Jamie, the man who was, you know, who was running the whole thing, was like, "Do you want to go into the utility closet for a while?" And it's a spacious utility closet, but I couldn't hear anything in there. And so finally, he was like, "I'll knock three times when your show's about to begin," because the door was being held, and
that's hilarious.
And so I was just like sort of pacing around in there going over my introduction. He knocks three times. I knew to wait a minute, and then I burst out, and then the lights were weird, and then I stepped out on stage and one of my props fell over. And then I realized halfway into my first sentence that I'd forgotten to turn my mic on. And even though I didn't end up needing the mic, it still threw me. And
it's
then
it's a Moon Palace tradition.
Because for those of you who may not remember, I did a live show at Moon Palace Books. It was a live episode of my show that I forgot to record, and so no one has ever heard.
What stood out for you from your actual performance?
What do you mean, like
just what are some things that
once you got rolling,
what just stands out for you that you sticks out in your mind about it?
How much fun it was to play with the audience's like expectations. Like, I felt like when I could really ride with where the audience was, I knew how to I got to feel for like what they were, how they were going to respond to certain things. So I knew how to get a bigger laugh, or I knew how to I knew when to get a little more serious, or I could really feel when people were getting a little starting to get that thing where they were ready for some, the mood to shift. And so being comfortable enough with my material so that I could jump ahead to something if I felt like, oh, this is dragging. Or I could milk it a little bit if it was something that people seemed to be enjoying. And I did that with the improv section.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I haven't really hit the book that I really feel like is getting the big payoff.
Oh, man. And it was the birthday book.
We've all been there. We've all had too much of it. Too much birthday. This is a book that teaches us the valuable lesson. Don't get your kids a horse and a merry-go-round. One or the other, people. One or the other. Or your kid is going to get so upset, she's going to scream in the middle of her party. And we've all been there. We all know what it's like when the kid gets all worked up, or to be the kid who gets too worked up because you're too overexcited, you're overstimulated, there's too many people around you. I don't want to be here anymore. And that's what Sister does in this book, teaches a valuable lesson, which is that it's the parents' responsibility, not the kids' responsibility to not lose their temper or to not freak out. It's the parents' responsibility to make sure their kids aren't put in a situation where that'll happen. And that's not a lesson you learn a lot in a lot of children's books, which brings me to a big point, which is that 80% of these books are written for the parents. Some of these books don't even have very interesting stories for the kids, but as a parent, I'm like, oh, that's a good idea.
And then I think later on in the show, when the audience meter of emotion flipped to the other side, I could palpably feel it in the room. People were feeling for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I added an emotional component to it late in the game.
You certainly did.
And that was cool. It was cool to talk to the audience about things that I feel very vulnerable and scared of.
Yeah.
And
do you think that's the right balance now?
I think so. I think it runs the risk a little bit of hitting people a little out of left field.
Hmm.
If it's not dealt with properly, enjoying my wacky bear show, but then all of a sudden, let's get real.
Well, I feel like you give off enough signifiers in the beginning of the
show.
I
agree. Yeah.
Enough. You do kind of zigzag a little bit in the beginning of the show, and it sets us up for knowing that that's going to happen.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
In front of a bunch of people who I trusted and loved and were my community. And in front of my community, he said, basically, you'll never belong. You don't have a place. You're going to have to run your whole life just to try to catch up with everyone else. So deal with it, basically. And we all shook our heads and we were like, yeah, yeah, that sounds about right. But you tell that to a kid, that kid sort of carries it on. What Stan and Jan are doing is they're saying, no, that's not how it works. That's not what community is. A community isn't a bunch of people who tell you you don't belong. A community is a bunch of people who say you do belong. You have a place here. You have a place in this wild world. And you can screw up a bunch. Sure. And we're going to call you on it. But you're still a member of this community, and we're going to show you how to be a better person by being better people ourselves. And that is one of the big takeaways I get from Bear Country.
How do you feel now that it's done?
It's not done, and that's what's so crazy.
But the one night, but you were so nervous.
It's like a mountain, at least.
It was like a mountain. It was like a mountain.
I said it's mounted, not
mountain. Oh, I thought you said it was like a mountain. And what's funny,
it is like a mountain.
It felt like I had climbed a mountain at the end of it.
It's a huge thing.
I didn't realize how tense I was until the next day. Well, actually, kind of that night, we got home, and I thought I was just tired from the excitement of the day. But then the next morning I woke up and I was in physical pain, and I realized that I had been holding so much tension in my whole body for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that once I finally relaxed and slept, my body was like, you just ran a marathon. And I don't want to like overemphasize, like I did a one man show about the Berenstain Bears. I didn't like
run a marathon.
Ran a marathon. That sounds pretty similar. I spent the day in bed the next day not being able to move, so there you go.
I didn't do anything world changing, but I feel like I got the show to a place where it was meaningful to people, where it transcended its original concept.
Yep.
I agree.
Yep.
I agree completely. It's definitely not what I originally expected the show to be. It's much better.
Was it better than it was that day in the theater basement?
It was like 10 minutes long when it was in the theater basement.
We were literally rehearsing in a room that was the size of like a pantry.
Yeah.
It was very tiny.
Or utility closet.
It was a utility closet.
With some puppets.
But with like a whole piano in it and some puppets. yeah, it came a long way. And I think it has legs, and it's going to go other places.
It's going to start running away.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Onward and upward.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has been good.
Yeah. Thank you both.
All right, get us out of here, Phil.
All right. Well, thank you, Alana, for joining me.
Anytime.
And thank you, Mark, for joining me.
My pleasure.
For all of you guys out there and if you enjoyed the brief clips I played in this episode, you can hear longer ones if you are a Patreon subscriber. I'll be posting slightly longer excerpts from the show captured by Mr. Bradley Mariska on my Patreon site, patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. If you are a subscriber at the $1 level or higher, you will get to hear more of the show. It won't give the whole thing away because it's different every time, or it will be different every time, because I assume I'll be doing this again. If you want to find me, you can find me online at berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com. You can find me on Twitter at bstainbearcast. You can write to me at berenstainbearcast@gmail.com. Again, go to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry and subscribe. I would love to get a little more, of that sweet, sweet Patreon support. Every dollar helps. Every smiling face is a star, just another star in my personal night sky. When I look up in the look, when I close my eyes and look at the sky, I see your shining faces beaming down on me. That is how I think of you always and forever. And I'm just going to take us out of here now. Thank you all for joining me. I'll be back with more books, more guests, and more fun next time, deep in
Bear Country.